This is the AgriTalk podcast brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions. It's report day. Wait, no. I guess we aren't getting any USDA reports today with the government shutdown. It's day 21 of the shutdown, and President Trump, yeah, he's got his eyes set on setting the record for the longest government shutdown.
From the studios of Farm Journal, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we begin with a chat with David Poteri from Indigo Ag. Later in the show, we'll set off a Friday free-for-all with Pro Farmer Washington contributor Jim Wiesmeyer and Real Agriculture's Sean Haney. All that and your phone calls at 855-4-TALK-AG. I'm AgriTalk MC Davis Michelson with the lowdown hoedown, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory. Good morning, buddy boy.
Hey, Davis, good morning to you. It's Friday, dude. We made it through a week.
We almost made it.
We almost made it.
We're at Friday. We're at the weekend's door.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not there yet.
I guess that's true. Yeah, but things are going to have to go really, really bad here in a very short period of time for us to not make it through the week.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't talk that way.
Yeah, I know.
That's just
like tempting fate, isn't it?
Yes, a 2:45 sort of a conversation, not 10 a.m., dude. You're killing me.
Oh, man. Hey, Davis, is it just me?
Uh-huh.
Or is the farm community looking at the government shutdown and the impact on federal employees, the paychecks, potential impacts on federal services? And the farm community just kind of seems to be saying, yeah, hey, been there, done that.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there doing that?
Are there doing that?
Yeah. For sure.
I tell you, that's part of the conversation that I want to have with Jim and with Sean today. Pam is out of the country, and she will be back with us, I believe Pam will be back with us next week. But today, it's you, it's me, it's Wiesmeyer, it's Haney. It's going to be a lot to cover on today's show, because we've also got a conversation, or I had a conversation yesterday with Senator Pat Roberts. I want to bring some of that into the conversation today as well.
Well, that'll be some great perspective. All right. I can't wait to hear what you came up with.
Yeah. Now, we're going to get some crop estimates from Indigo Ag here in just a second. But before we do that, what else have you got in the news, Davis?
Well, as you said, the U.S. government shutdown is now in day 21, tied for the longest government closure, which stretched between 1995 and 96, and there's no compromise in sight, and no additional negotiations are scheduled. President Trump appears to be edging toward declaring a national emergency over the proposed border wall. On a related note, China's Vice Premier Liu He is planning to meet with the U.S. counterparts, including U.S. Trade Representative Bob Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. That's for negotiations on Jan 30 and 31. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told reporters on Capitol Hill, quote, I would expect the government shutdown would have no impact on those trade talks.
Good.
Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican from Iowa, earlier this week seemed to suggest he backed President Trump's threat to pull out of NAFTA completely if Democrats would not help clear its replacement, the USMCA. But the finance chairman later told Bloomberg TV that he meant that many concerns already voiced by Democrats on the USMCA could be addressed without returning to the negotiation table. Quote, surely no Democrat would want to go back to not having a NAFTA, Grassley remarked. President Trump yesterday canceled a trip to the World Economic Forum Summit in Davos, Switzerland. The president said the decision to scrub the Davos trip stemmed from the Democrats' intransigence in the border security debate and shutdown negotiations. I had to look up that word. It means unwillingness to compromise, basically. And quickly, a strain of bovine tuberculosis has been detected in British Columbia. Canada's chief veterinary officer, Jaspinder Komal, noted the strain is not connected to any cases previously detected in wild animals or domestic stock. Canada is considered officially free of bovine TB, although a statement said isolated cases may still occur, Chip.
Okay. All right. Hey, Davis, we should have been getting USDA crop reports today, the annual production summary, quarterly grain stocks report, updates to the South American crop estimates, winter wheat seedings. There's a whole long list of reports that we were supposed to get today. Not going to get them, obviously, but there's other ways that we can get the information. You want to get some?
I would love that.
All right, let's bring in David Polteri. David is the head of innovation at Indigo Ag. He joins us now. David, welcome to AgriTalk.
It's a pleasure to be here with you. It's been a little while since we were on tour with you, Chip, earlier
yeah.
this year.
Yeah, absolutely, David. It's good to talk with you again. So, David, Indigo Ag, you do the crop estimates and you do the updates throughout the season, right?
That's correct. In fact, we if you follow the news, and in my prior role as CEO of Telus Labs, we were just acquired, Telus Labs, by Indigo Ag. And that Telus technology, that daily forecast, is now right at the heart of the data platform at Indigo.
Gotcha. David, just so that everybody understands, you're not just, you know, kind of pulling a number out of thin air. Where do you get the information for these estimates?
Well, it's a great question, Chip. You know, you're right. I think the world has changed a lot since we relied on the old-fashioned methods of essentially a ground intelligence network on understanding global supply. And now we have a lot more sources available. At GeoInnovation here at Indigo, we rely on terabytes of daily satellite imagery on plant health and weather, more traditional weather data inputs. And we use machine learning to put those two inputs together and essentially train our models against what the government has said over the last 15, 20 years.
Gotcha. All right. So we were supposed to get the annual production summary from USDA today. That would be the number that we would basically live with going forward until we get any adjustments in the census of ag later. What do you got on corn?
Well, Chip, for corn in Brazil, we see a 5.1% decline in our models from December 11th, the date of the prior Foreign Ag Service report, the last WASDE, and today. And for corn in Argentina, it's a slightly different story. We see a 1.1% increase over that same period of time. As you know, the weather situation in both countries is fairly distinct.
Yeah, absolutely. So that crop in Brazil working to the downside, Argentina, they picked up some plentiful rains. Are they on the edge of getting too much rain?
No, we're watching that very carefully. I think you're exactly right. Those more recent precip events, we think, are what's driving this uptick that we've been watching now, a pretty steady increase for the last three or four weeks. And we're definitely keeping an eye on whether it tips over to the other side. That's right.
Right. David, do you have a final number out of the U.S.?
We sure do. Okay. So as you recall, our daily models for the U.S. forecast.
We got about 40 seconds here, David.
Great. Well, in the case of both corn and soy for the U.S., our models show below the December estimate for the USDA. So we would anticipate that when this January report does get released from USDA, we would anticipate some continued downward revision for both corn and soy.
Okay. Significant? Would you call it a significant downside revision?
We're anticipating some downward revision.
Okay. All right, David. Thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk with you again soon. Hope to see you again out there on the road on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour third week of August. We got a free-for-all coming up next. We got Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, Davis Michelson, and me, Chip Flory. Syngenta just wrapped up their hashtag YouShareWeGive holiday campaign. The campaign asked folks to generate holiday photo frames and share them on social media. In turn, Syngenta pledged to donate $5 for each share to North Carolina-based hunger relief group Rise Against Hunger, up to $10,000. We're joined now by Syngenta Communication Manager Wendell Calhoun. Wendell, so how did the campaign go for Syngenta?
Chip, we were extremely pleased with the campaign. We wrapped up the donation portion on December 15th, and we left the frames up for folks to enjoy through the new year. We had enough engagement on social media to donate $5,000 to Rise Against Hunger, and they've told us that that's enough to provide a hot meal for 17,000 people in need. This holiday campaign is a branch of our hashtag Rooted in Ag initiative, and we hope to continue to empower people in agriculture, not only for goodwill purposes, but also so they can share their stories and passion too.
You know, Wendell, for Syngenta to do something like this, I mean, I'll admit, you do it around the holidays. It's a little heartwarming, but it is so important to be involved in the community.
It is. It's very important because the community is what ag is all about. Our mission is to help feed the world, and it requires not only Syngenta, but the community as well. And this was a good way to continue to engage them.
Yeah, absolutely. Wendell, thank you so much for everything that you do there. For more hashtag Rooted in Ag stories and information on that initiative, head to SyngentaThrive.com/RootedInAg.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Commodity Classic is the place to network with others.
I also love the innovation and the excitement here. My favorite thing is the networking, though. I love making relationships with the vendors at the booths, the growers from around the country. It's great because you can take that home and continue to draw on those resources when you're back at the farm.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused, educational, and agricultural experience, February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're going to have the free-for-all for you in just a moment. But right now, let's make time for this industry spotlight. Joined now by Tom Snipes, CEO of Plant Response. Tom, what is Plant Response and what is the science of nature?
Well, Chip, we're actually a company that focuses on developing solutions for plant health, stress mitigation, and nutrient management by bridging the gap between pioneering research. Now, a lot of that is done internally, but also through a network of EU academic collaborators that we work with and just real market needs that, you know, growers are facing daily. We just opened an office in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. That's going to be our commercial headquarters as we expand into the North American market. And look, we know North America is a critically important audience. Research Triangle Park is an epicenter of innovative ag research and development. We pulled together a great experienced team that really knows U.S. agriculture, and that also includes our new independent chairman of the board, Tom Warner, who a lot of people know from the CPS organization, Nutrient Ag Solution. Tom's got over 45 years experience in the ag retail industry and really pushes us to focus in the right areas.
Very cool. Now, what kind of products and technology can growers expect to accomplish from what Plant Response focuses on, and that is plant innate immunity?
Yeah, Plant Response has developed innovative technologies that help plants overcome adverse conditions. So we focus on innate immunity as well as mitigating plant stress. So specifically that includes how a plant resists stress at a molecular level and also how to stimulate health and growth in the plant. So the company's knowledge of molecular pathways, which also includes a lot of science around plant signaling, allows us to focus on using the science of nature and identifying solutions in these areas of helping a plant through various abiotic stress environments. So a great example is our Neptunian product, which came out of a researcher in Spain that was actually looking that he saw that all plants under stress emitted the same natural plant metabolite. his hypothesis was, well, if we introduced that early to the plant, would it, you know, help the plant mitigate that stress? And it certainly has. That's a product we're commercializing today. It's shown great efficacy to seed treatment, fights against stress such as drought, cold, salinity. So really exciting product line for us.
Excellent. That is Tom Snipes, CEO of Plant Response. All right. Davis, let's get this free-for-all going. Let's bring the guys
Absolutely.
In. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, with us. Jim, how are you today?
Pretty good, with the partial government shutdown continuing, as you indicated.
Yep, that's going to be our first topic of conversation. Actually, maybe border security should be our first topic of conversation because, you know, I know that we've got our issues down on our southern border, but evidently we've got some problems, maybe some loopholes, some gaps in the fence on the northern border as well, because as I understand it, Sean Haney is in Colorado. What's going on?
Oh, absolutely, Chip. I'm in Colorado these last couple days, and yesterday was a very, very balmy, nice, sunny day, and today I'm in a blizzard. So just like back home in Alberta, Colorado gets a big change in weather as well.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Guys, I want to stay on the government shutdown here a little bit, and I want to start with, Jim, you know this, I had an opportunity yesterday to have a conversation with one of your friends, longtime friend of yours, Senator Pat Roberts from Kansas. And in the conversation yesterday, I asked Senator Roberts about the shutdown and the wall on the southern border, and the fight that has developed between President Trump and Senator Schumer, Speaker Pelosi. I asked the senator if it's the right fight at the right time. And here's what he said. Clip four.
I don't think we can worry about border security later. We have to do what the folks down there on the border who have that responsibility, the ICE people and all of the Border Patrol, all of those folks, they need a barrier. Now, we're not talking about a wall anymore. We're talking about a steel barrier. I don't know if we're going to change the terminology or not, but that's what the president told us yesterday. He's down on the border now. We need that, and quite frankly, we need really the answer to this is to come together on an immigration bill that would work.
Right.
Every small manufacturing plant I know in Kansas is in dire need of workers. I mean, yeah. We apparently don't have a cadre of people who are ready to work or who even want to work. The Ag Jobs Bill failed by one vote when I was chairman in the House. Gee whiz, I wish we'd have changed that.
Yeah.
Where people can come in and help harvest crops. But if we could get to that, that may be too much. We have a whole bunch of new folks in the House. They're not too much interested in, you know, working with the other side.
But Jim, he gets it. He brought up the immigration side. What we need is the big deal, not just an agreement or disagreement on the wall.
Yeah, it's the go big or go out.
Yes.
And from not having that, it looks like both sides are going to go out or continue to be out on that. But he linked spending, border security and immigration reform. So those are a triad of elements that you really need leadership for that, Chip.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, Chip, you said it. I heard it earlier this week on AgriTalk, talking about how both sides just thrive on this battle and this debate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and of course, you know, Democrats continue to try to hold it against the president. He said Mexico is going to pay for it and the USMCA. Yeah. Well, everybody knew that was never, ever going to happen. And so right now it's a bit of a, well, just kidding. And yeah. We've moved from a wall to a fence. And you know, the reality is that the president campaigned on the wall. But he's now trying to, you know, change some of the narrative, and he's having a hard time doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I wonder too. How much of a game of semantics perhaps could play into this if we're talking maybe about a barrier instead of a wall, or you know, like you say, a fence or something like that. But I don't know if that's going to be enough to sway attitudes on the Democratic side of the aisle.
Right. But, you know, Davis said it right yesterday when it comes to talking about Mexico paying for the wall. Davis, you said it right. What was it? I think you said something like nobody expected Mexico to write a check and to put the wall in the memo line.
Right. A scary place to be is probably in the mind of Trump. But if we can go there for a moment, you know, the way that he looks at life is different from the way that other politicians, other government leaders have in the past from my perspective anyway, in that he thinks about it from the corporate point of view. And, you know, whether he sees those funds coming from some other sort of transaction or something like that. But that, yeah, that's what I said. I mean, I don't think that when he said we're going to build a wall and Mexico is going to pay for it, that he expected to get a check for X billion dollars with right. wall written in the memo line from Mexico. Yeah.
But Davis, then stop. Then I don't disagree with that. But then you should mm-hmm. stop talking about it. And if you go back to yeah. early December, he was still saying that. And on the, you know, on this show on the free for all, we were asking why does he keep on saying this?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's
yeah.
nowhere in the USMCA text. So mm-hmm. it's not from the USMCA deal either. So his words are being used against him.
Yeah.
And you know
yeah.
it is his style. He is different. But this should not be a surprise to anybody that we're fighting over who's paying for it now.
Right, right. And it seems like a difficult hill to defend for him. And
absolutely.
Would him backing away from that be seen as weakness, though? Because I'm sure that he would hate to show weakness in a situation like this. Maybe
yes.
he just needs to clarify what he means by that.
Jim, it would be seen as a sign of weakness, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but sometimes you look strong by admitting you were wrong. But
yeah.
he's
Ooh.
Just not that type of person. But he really did say what he's now, you know, finessing. He honestly did. But mm-hmm. even if it was true that the USMCA, in essence, has Mexico paying for it, he still needs the funds from the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that issue still remains, which is why we're at loggerheads on this issue.
Jim, and one of the spots that he's looking at getting the funds from is the emergency fund. I mean, if he would declare that it's a national emergency, the border security is, and that he needs the funds, and then he would dip into the funds that have been allocated for hurricane relief and wildfire relief. I don't know, dude.
Well, it's the logistics part, the infrastructure part, but still, it's an optics issue as well. I agree.
Right.
Well, and you know, Chip, on that note, if he does do that and he uses that emergency fund, just wait till the first hurricane hits this season and how that is used against him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about it. Jim, how is this all going to shake out? Bottom line.
The only political way, and there's negatives with that, is to declare an emergency. But still, that sets up a horrible precedent where other presidents can at least try that. So, but absent that, I just don't. I see both sides dug in way too deep. And you've got the Democrats clearly want to embarrass him, and they're embarrassing him. And you could well go into the State of the Union speech. Maybe that's their agenda to have him look embarrassed. Absent this big move or to say, okay, we're not going to declare an emergency, but we're shifting funds, at least that gets him out of the pickle of having an increased pressure of having all these government workers not getting paychecks.
Right, right.
Jim,
you know, the comment that Sean was referring to earlier was, I don't think that Trump can get enough support from the Republican side, obviously not from the Democrat side, to build that wall simply because both parties, it's too important to both parties to have it as an issue that they can bounce back and forth, that resolution is really difficult to come to. In my mind. We've got more of the free-for-all coming up next on AgriTalk.
Oh, hey, bro. I'm an off-brand filter, so I am under-engineered and made from cheaper components, so dust and contaminants, they're your problem, bro.
John Deere filters. Don't risk it with anything less. Get 10% off your John Deere filter packs at your John Deere dealer or at johndeerestore.com. Offer ends February 28, 2019 on filter packs for subcompact and compact utility tractors. Some restrictions apply. See participating dealers or johndeerestore.com for details. johndeerestore.com available in U.S. only.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, wheat is trying to lead the way to the upside today. What's going on there?
Well, here we sit just a half an hour away from the USDA report. Hold on. Those are shelved because of the government shutdown. So, really, it's just a correction, Chip, to yesterday. We had the washout yesterday in the grain and soy markets. And, just trying to bounce back a little bit here to end out the week. And I think there's some positive news on the demand front coming. The question is whether we can get confirmation, because we can't get that until the USDA offices reopen. So world prices are rising. It looks like Russia may have, at least there's signs that that may have been the last hurrah yesterday with the, or recently, earlier this week, with the Egyptian tender that they won. And so I think that that's a large part of it in the wheat market today.
Yeah, it kind of has the feel of maybe there's some rumors bouncing around out there that Russia's going to take another look at their export program. But, some recovery into the end of the week makes a lot of sense to me as well there. Corn, soybeans, some spillover support, a little bit of strength there.
Yeah, continue to watch the Brazilian situation. Now, there are some rains for far southern Brazil, and even up into south central Brazil, which has been dry. But really, the next 10 days looks like it's going to be generally hot and dry, especially in that east central and northeastern area of Brazil, and that's the new focal point in the area that, if it does turn hot and dry, could cut its production even more than what it has already.
Good stuff. Thanks, Brian. We've got a little bit of strength in the live cattle, feeder cattle market, some pressure on lean hogs today. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
I like that one, Dave.
You like that?
Yeah. I do. Yeah. Hey, last word on the wall here right now.
Okay.
Yesterday, in segment two of the first hour of AgriTalk, the morning show, we had a conversation with James Johnson. It was maybe one of the most... Davis, the conversation just sucked me in.
Yeah.
I couldn't... It was mesmerizing.
This is the guy who farms... on the border.
His
land borders the border. It's a borderland border.
Yeah. Like 12 miles of it.
12 miles of it. And he's just out there with a little bit of barbed wire and a wing and a prayer. And this is real stuff. This is the things, you know, you hear about this on the news. You see all the talk, the controversy, this side, that side, blah, blah, blah. This dude deals with it every day. He looks out his bathroom window. He can see Mexico.
He sees Mexico when he looks out his bathroom window.
You want to talk about where the rubber meets the road?
This is the guy.
That's where it is.
This James Johnson living it every day.
Yep. Every day.
Give that a listen, guys. If you didn't hear it yesterday, get the AgriTalk app on your phone. Go back and listen to it. Just search AgriTalk on the Google machine. You'll find our website and listen to that conversation with James Johnson if you want to know what's going on out there.
And by the way, I'm just going to throw this out there. The AgriTalk app is free to download. Easy to get, free to download, and you can get our shows, in addition to a whole bunch of other great stuff that you need to be listening to on a daily basis if you can.
Right. Guys, let's get a little bit more from Senator Pat Roberts, because that conversation that I had with him yesterday, obviously we talked about more things than just the government shutdown. Obviously, trade, right at the top of the list there, not just trade with China, trade issues in general. I asked Senator Roberts about... the meeting, remember this from last week? The meeting that he and Republican senators recently had with President Trump, if they got what they wanted from that meeting. Go ahead, clip one.
The president is pretty locked in with regards to the way he likes to handle trade issues one by one. It isn't like the dog hasn't barked on the Republican side and then bipartisan side, the Finance Committee down there, the Ag Committee, of course, and then just individuals. I think that last part was about the best because it was all over the lot. He heard from an awful lot of good people. I happened to be sitting right on his right-hand side and was sort of directing some of the questions, which I thoroughly enjoyed. We always get along with the president, but we try to point out that in imposing a tariff, maybe you get what you want down the road, but in the meantime, farmers, ranchers, and growers shouldn't be used as a pawn in your efforts to get it done, because there's irreparable damage done to our prices and losing markets, especially countries where we've always had a very good relationship. Once you lose a market, it's awful tough to get it back.
Ooh. Mm. There's the bottom line, isn't it, yep. Jim?
Yeah, there's long-term pain. History shows that, and we still don't have USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue admitting that. He's going to have to pretty soon.
Yeah. And, you know, I do like what he said in there, a couple of things. It's not like the dog hasn't barked. In other words, it's not like the members of Trump's party haven't said, listen, there's going to be some long-term consequences here if we continue down this path that you need to be aware of. The other thing that really resonated with what he was saying there, guys, was about the long-term you may get what you want. Long-term there may be some consequences. But in the short-term, farmers don't like to be used as a pawn, which is why I said at the start of the show, farmers right now are probably looking at what's going on in the federal employees and saying, yep, been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely they are. And it's funny you say that, because I was mentioning that this morning to a colleague. And you know, Chip, I think more and more, I'll be positive, Sean, today. I think we're lining up to have a shallow deal. I think what's going to happen is there's huge incentive for both President Xi and President Trump to get this wrapped up, for basically China to agree to increase commodity purchases in the U.S., which will be great news for American farmers. President Xi can walk away saving some face that we can move on, and President Trump can boast about how the fact he got a deal done. Will we see some of those changes, those structural changes, which justified all this in the first place? I'm not sold. I think we're going to see a deal here as we head into the latter half of Q1.
All right. Shallow deal, Jim. What do you think of that?
That doesn't sound like Bob Lighthizer to me. He's our U.S. trade rep. They will very likely put benchmarks, in other words, report cards, for China to finally deliver, rather than prior administrations, both Democratic and Republican administrations looking the other way. I see this as a long-term plan. Yes, short-term, it should be very good for U.S. agriculture to get them back on the path to buying good U.S. protein products, but long-term, they're going to have to fulfill some benchmarks.
Yeah. Hey, I'm so glad that you brought this up, the whole concept of a shallow deal. And Sean, I think I know where that thinking probably came from. It was Wilbur Ross, right? U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross saying that that he's confident that we can get a deal that we can live with and that the Chinese can live with. So I talked with Davey Stevens earlier this week. He's the president of the American Soybean Association. And then I also asked Dennis Bogards, farmer from Iowa, Don Lamb, farmer from Indiana, about it on the free-for-all on Wednesday. I said, is that good enough? A deal that we can live with after the risks that American soybean farmers have taken? Is that a good enough deal? Is something that we can... Nobody wants that deal. Dennis Bogard said it best when he said, you know what, if we're this far down the path, let's make sure that we get it done and get it done right so that we don't have to reopen this again later and go through it again.
Well, yeah, and if that's where we end up with a shallow deal, then we're going to go back to that question of, was all of this worth it? Like, what was all this for?
Yeah,
because the whole justification was, as Jim alludes to, the structural changes and Bob Lighthizer wanting to enforce that change. And if we do get a shallow deal like I was talking about, I think people are going to be sort of scratching their head wondering, boy, did soybean growers, as an example, take it really on the chin?
Right. Okay. Now, Jim, I'll admit, I might have been channeling Pam on this when I asked Senator Roberts this next question, and it fits in so well with the conversation that we're having. But I asked Senator Roberts if President Trump has a clear understanding of what the end goal in the negotiations with China is. Here's what he said. Clip two.
Oh, I think there's a very clear agenda that Wilbur Ross and Peter Navarro and the president and other advisors have. and they'd like to get there from here without question. But in any trade agreement, it's just like what we're talking about, working together. You got to work with folks. The thing with the Chinese, you know, there's so many other things that he would like to see done that are very, very difficult to get accomplished. Whereas in the meantime, with 1.4 billion people, that's one heck of a market. We were having a lot of success with beef getting into China. They were buying a lot of soybeans, a lot of cans of sorghum, for that matter, sorghum all over. And then a lot of other crops as well. Farmers make plans on things like that. If the market shows that, why, shucks, they're going to go ahead and produce. And we can do that. And we're a reliable supplier, or at least used to be.
Whoa.
The last thing that he said there, guys, at least we used to be a reliable supplier. Jim, are we on the edge of losing that reliability as a supplier around the world?
Well, let's hope not. But, you know, this is such a thorny issue that it really goes. If I would have one suggestion to any, all the listeners, read Michael Pillsbury's book, 100 Year Marathon. Yeah. He is an expert China watcher. And he said this problem began decades ago, actually began with President Carter, who gave the Chinese first a look at all new research that the U.S. government funded along with the U.S. scientists, and they have 300,000 students in America. They have usurped a lot of our intellectual property. If not now, when, Chip? I know agriculture is feeling the pain. And again, if you don't do this now, Bob Lighthizer should leave this administration, because if he doesn't have benchmarks, there's something wrong with this.
Well, and Jim beat me to it. I was in my next comment, Sean's book review of the week, Michael Pillsbury's book. I just finished it. I agree with Jim. It is absolutely outstanding. It is a great way to understand the structural issues that need fixing.
Yeah. Jim, do we make anything out of Senator Roberts' response? Remember how he started the response there? He went straight to Ross and Navarro as far as having clearly defined what the end game is.
Well, I think that's the easy way. I would I would again put the focus on both Trump and Bob Lighthizer. They're one and the same on this one. And our country was very naive over the last few decades relative to China. Now, for agriculture, a long-term positive here out of this morass is now we got to pump a lot of thought and yes, money into market development. And yes, we too can better level the playing field to go after other markets as well. We've got a growing world out there, so let's go get it.
Right.
Well, and the risk factor, though, is, Chip, is that I agree that, you know, maybe the U.S. has been naive in terms of what China's been doing, but this administration has to be careful. It's not naive on how quickly and easily China's just going to roll over because they're being called on some of the things that they're doing, and that's the risk factor of these whole negotiations and trying to get this fixed in a short-term sort of conclusion.
It's not called a trade war for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is exactly right. You know, one last thing that I want to get to, and we're almost out of time here in this segment, so we're going to have to wait and do this in the next segment. I want to go back to the shutdown for just a little bit when we come back, Jim, because usually when we're in a situation like we're in right now with the federal government shut down, partially shut down, there are at least some indications of how much longer this is going to last. I forgot to ask Jim early on in the conversation, how much longer is it going to last? Is he seeing any signs that this thing's going to end? We'll find out next.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready 2 Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
And joining us is Jason Derschmidt from Fort Dodge, Iowa. Jason, I got to know, did you notice any difference in plant health with the Poncho Votivo 2.0 this year?
We did. Late season, we're still seeing a healthy plant standing good. It's got some green to it yet, and we're pretty late in the season now at this point. So, yeah, we've definitely seen better plant health. Everything stood good through the summer. We had a pretty wet year and quite a few decent wind events, 50, 60 mile an hour winds, and we didn't see any lodging or any tipping at the roots or anything. So, yeah, definitely very good plant health.
Boy, and with the growing season that you've had up there in north central Iowa, Jason, that's saying a lot, no question about it. Okay, you've still got some crop out in the field, but you've started to bring that corn crop in. Are you seeing any yield differences with Poncho Votivo 2.0?
We did. We've seen about 5 to 10 bushel over anything else we've been in. So, and we're running 1250 on everything else. So I'd say we're picking up another probably 5 bushel at least on the 2.0.
Yeah, so you got plans to use more PV 2.0 for next year?
I do. I plan to use it on everything.
And what is the big reason? What does PV 2.0, what does it really give you? Is it the protection against the nematodes?
It is. It's that and early season plant health and a better uptake of nutrients. I mean, it's just an all-around healthier looking plant.
Yeah, and again, if those yield differences, that's putting that, we're talking about some real money and a great return on your investment.
Yeah, and not just the yield, the plant health late in the season, because we've had a lot of corn lodge this year. I mean, a lot of stuff that just didn't have the root structure that it needed to withstand the wet weather and the wind, and the 2.0 definitely stood and had better plant health than anything else we've had.
That's great to hear, Jason. Thank you so much. That's Jason Derschmidt from Fort Dodge, Iowa.
But it can buy me a boat.
In the morning, you're coffeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody.
Or Mountain Dew, if you prefer.
Yes?
Mountain Dew, if you prefer.
That's right.
Pepsi Diet Coke. I mean, whatever you got.
Get all jacked up for the afternoon. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's finish up the conversation here. We've got Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer with us, Real Agriculture Sean Haney, Real Ag Radio. Guys, did you see the Trump address earlier this week to the nation from the Oval Office? Jim, what'd you think of it?
Well, I know a lot of people thought he didn't do that well, but I thought for Trump, he looked presidential, and I thought the Democrats looked very mean-spirited, did not mention compromise whatsoever, but Trump right. has this aura around him both ways, negative and positive right now, that I think people's minds are already made up.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean, what'd you think?
Jim, I don't think Jim's far off at all. I think obviously the president is much better in that format where he's in front of an audience and it's kind of almost like a WWE event where everyone's cheering and he feeds off the crowd. That's an uncomfortable kind of way for him to address people, but I didn't think it was really that bad. The really bad one was the Democrat side, Pelosi and Schumer. That was, I don't know what the communication strategy was there. It didn't look right, to be honest with you.
To me, it almost felt like they thought they had a layup rebuttal that they could have come out there and yeah. said just about anything, and people would have been, yeah, this is awesome. You guys are so right. Get them, guys. And
yeah,
it didn't come off that way to me at all. It just seemed a little weird.
Yeah,
weird is a good way to put it.
yeah. I thought Trump could have done better. I thought he missed an opportunity. He could have been a little more direct in what he was asking for. He could have been a little more animated in how he presented it. I mean, if he would have done those two things, been more direct, been more animated, and Pelosi and Schumer stood up and did what they did afterwards, it would have created an even wider divide between Trump and Pelosi and Schumer. And I think in this case, that wider divide would have been a good thing. Jim, yeah, are you seeing
what you just said, Chip? He didn't have the passion that he usually has, and I don't think he believed that that speech would turn into anything. He was probably right. He shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah,
exactly. No. That I mean, it's almost like he decided, oh my gosh, you know, we're almost 2 years into this, and I haven't done one from the Oval Office yet. I should address the nation about this.
Or his advisors. And
And its problem is that when he does try to come across calm and calculated, like he was trying to, he has a hard time because people are so used to the boastfulness and the hyperbole. It's hard. It's hard for him to swing and adjust.
Well, it was just like me when they used to have confession and I went into the priest to acknowledge my sins. I was much different in that area than I was publicly.
So tell me more, Jim. Tell me more.
But it's about the same.
Jim goes to confessional. That's a book I'm reading.
And the priest
is saying his buddies. Some quick
You're
news
not going to believe
Chip.
This guy.
I want to give some quick positive news because Ag needs it. U.S. and China officials reportedly discussed restarting American ethanol shipments as part of the latest round of talks. If you recall, China imported about 200 million gallons of ethanol in 2016.
Yeah. Yeah, that is good news.
That's good
grief. And if they're going to get to their goal, their stated goal of 10% ethanol blend by 2022, Jim?
I don't know.
Or is it 2020?
It's pretty soon. They need
it. Yeah, it's a lot. I think it's 2020.
I was thinking it was 2020 myself.
If we get this official agreement, you're going to have a financial market breathing a lot easier, and you're going to have ag markets get at least the opportunity to hedge some grains. But I want to answer real quick, Chip, your other question.
Yes.
How long is this government shutdown going to last?
Yes.
I think it'll last as long as Trump finds a way to get the funding with or without an emergency declaration or moving money around. He knows it's going to be challenged in court. We can have the same day he makes that announcement, they can get a bill through Congress to, you know, refund these halted government operations.
Okay. But you're not, are you seeing... There is, I continue to hear the hope for some compromise from President Trump, but there is no sign on the Democrat side that they are going to compromise on this, is there?
I think you're correct. There's no.
Yeah. But I haven't seen anything.
Pelosi is as strong as he is. She really is. And she is dug in as much as he is on this issue. That doesn't bode well for compromise. So you have to have different maneuvers.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that he, you know, we talked about this, but going into the end of the year, is that this is a new reality for him, having to adjust how he tries to get things through. And, you know, he has been quite one-dimensional, whether it's trade negotiations or dealing with Congress. He's kind of shown one tactic. I don't know what his strategy should be, but right now this is not working.
Right. Jim, what do you got planned? What's coming up?
Well, this issue, of course, the China talks, because I think this is bottom line for not only farmers and ranchers, but the overall economy, both in the U.S. And China. And I say the world, too, because the Fed chairman, Powell, this week said his biggest worry is the global economy. And if you tip China much more, you could that will negatively affect the emerging market. So this is a big issue, Chip.
Absolutely. And hey, Davis and I are going to see you next week in Chicago at the Top Producer Summit.
Top Producer, I'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, so we'll have those sessions behind the scenes, Chip.
Absolutely, you know we will. Haney, you travel safe, man. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot, Chip.
All right, that is Sean Haney, Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. See, Davis, you were all worried that I said that here we are at Friday, getting to the end of the week. You were all scared that things were going to break down on us. We made it through the first hour.
We sure did. I'm a word guy. Love the word games. Intransigence. Excellent word for what's going on.
Hey, come back this afternoon. I got Mark Gold, top third ag marketing.
We're live on the red carpet, waiting for the next generation Credenz soybean. There he is.
Oh, Ed, look, it's Credenz Liberty Link GT27.
I know, Adna. He's got elite genetics.
You gotta love his 4 bushel per acre yield advantage.
And he's both Liberty and glyphosate herbicide tolerant.
Definitely the year's hottest performer. Ask your Credenz retailer about the new Credenz Liberty Link GT27 soybeans.
Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2+ bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.